right, guys. Welcome to Two Thirds Radio. You're on the Republic Broadcasting Network, continuing to fight the good fight. Today we got a great guest on, Bill Schnobelen, if I'm pronouncing that right. S-C-H-N-O-E-B-E-L-E-N. He's a former Mason, a former Satanist. In fact, he was a 33rd degree Mason, which if you're familiar with high-ranking Masonry, you know that when you get to that level, you already are a Satanist anyway. That's what Freemasonry is. But he was also associated with Satanism. He was also in the Mormon Church. Well, again, doesn't that figure? They're all tied in together, folks. Masonry, Mormonism is Masonry, and it is Satanism. Yes, that's right. We'll be talking about that today. If you have any doubts about that, stick around. Mormonism is an absolutely vulgarly evil cult. You know, I'll argue all organized religion is, but particularly Mormonism is absolutely evil. I mean, just outright, blatant, bold-faced, undeniable, satanically evil, corrupt religion. And so that's what we'll be talking about today. This guy's been around the block a few times. He's got a lot of very interesting stuff to share. Very shocking stuff, too, for that matter. So you don't want to miss this. I'll be bringing him up after the first break. Before then, let me go over a few quick announcements here. Guys, once again, just to remind you, I got a new book posted up on Lulu, LULU.com. It's called An Alternative View of the Distant Past, wherein I talk about advanced ancient technology. I think I'm going to be talking about that one day next week. I don't have any guests scheduled for next week because it's the holidays and people are really hard to nail down at that time, so I'm probably just going to be doing rants all next week, Tuesday being the exception, of course, right on Christmas Day. RBN won't be broadcasting anything live. We'll have recordings. But next Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to be going off on some rants, and one of them will be talking about advanced technology in the distant past. Very interesting stuff. So you won't want to miss that. That's just one of the many subjects I cover in this book, An Alternative View of the Distant Past. So just go to lulu.com, type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and you'll see all the books I have available. Yeah, it's spelt like Rudy, but no relation. Hey, I want to welcome once again our listeners in the Coast to Coast room on Pell Talk. I just checked the numbers, and it's quite a big room there, about 70 people. That's impressive. So glad to have you guys listening in. Just a reminder, guys, real quick before we go to the break, before I bring up my guest, for those of you that are looking to invest, if you have some spare cash that you've been wanting to invest to protect your assets, our money system, in case you haven't noticed, is dwindling exponentially every day. RBN's sponsor, Onesti Investment Advisors, looks after your investments. You can use Onesti Investments Investment Advisors to invest for retirement, to fund education, lower taxes, reduce investment risk, enhance your return potential, increase retirement income, and, of course, just all around protect against the falling dollar. So if you want more information, just go to www.onestiadvisors.com. Advisors, of course, is spelled O-R-S, not E-R-S. And Onesti is spelled O-N-E-S-T-I. So again, that's www.onestiadvisors.com. OnestiAdvisors.com, or you can simply call them at 505-296-2453. Again, 505-296-2453 for more information. All right, guys, hang around. I'm going to go to a break in a minute. And again, we'll be bringing up Bill Schnobelen. Very interesting guy. He's got a lot of mind-blowing stuff to share. You don't want to miss this. Be right back.
Time to Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardiolite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardiolite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Okay, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. Yeah, we're tired of playing foolish games, and that's why we are having guests on like Bill Schnabelan. I'm going to be introducing him in a moment, but before that, let me just mention this. Attention all Nevada and South Carolina voters or potential voters next year. I hope you are going to vote, and I hope you're going to vote Ron Paul. Today is the voter registration deadline date. Today, Wednesday, December 19th. You must register by today if you want to vote for Ron Paul. You must register as a Republican. The contact information for Nevada is Secretary of State Election Division. Their phone number, 775-684-5705. Once again, that's 775-684-5705. Ron Paul, Nevada headquarters, phone number, 702-430-1407. Again, 702-430-1407. The website, www.ronpaul2008.com/states/Nevada. For South Carolina, State Election Commission phone number is 803-734-9070. Again, that's 803-734-9070. And the website for there is www.scvotes.org. scvotes.org. So once again, South Carolina and Nevada residents, Today is the deadline date. If you want to vote for Ron Paul, you must be registered today as a Republican to do so. So there you go. Make sure when you register as a Republican that you tell them you do not want to be listed as a neocon. All right. We're going to go now to our guest, Mr. Bill Schnobelin, or Schnobelin. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. You're going to have to correct me, Bill. But welcome to the show.
Thank you. We just say Schnobelin, but it's one of those names that's hard to pronounce.
Okay. Schnobelin or Schnobelin?
Schnobelin.
Oh, okay. Wow, I was way off. I wasn't even close.
That's okay. You were being more German with it, and that's fine.
There's a friend of mine on paltalk.com who actually did give me that pronunciation. He's going to yell at me later that I didn't pronounce the right way that he told me. He was right.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, you've got an interesting past. You've had quite a resume there. I mean, you were a member of, you were actually a 33rd degree Mason, right?
Well, not in America, but in the Continental Rites, I was actually a 90th degree Mason. In American Masonry, I was just a 32nd degree, also a member of the Scottish Rite and the Shrine. So I don't mean to confuse you, but...
Yeah, I did hear that there were degrees higher than the 33rd, but...
They're not...
Wow.
You don't usually find them in America.
Now, to get to the 90th degree, did you literally have to go to 34, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way up to 90?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah. They actually
and for
go
each one
to,
of those...
Well, the rite I was in, which is the Memphis and Mizraim rite, which is Egyptian Freemasonry, actually goes up to 97 degrees. And there's another branch that goes up to 360 degrees. But I never got into that.
Wow. Now, what happens at that point? You start growing horns or?
Well, probably. I mean, after the stuff I was doing when I was a 90th degree, I hate to think of what you'd be doing if you were a 360th degree Mason.
Wow. So you must have seen some very interesting stuff from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it gets pretty dark up there, and, of course, there's a lot of demonic stuff going on. And, of course, long before you get to that point, you have to sell your soul to the devil and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty dark stuff, yes.
Now, do they literally come out and you know, make it clear that that's what you're doing?
And what, the Masons?
Yeah, I mean, do they actually tell you?
Not, certainly not at the lower levels.
Right. But, I mean,
but
the time you get up
once
to the...
you get up into the higher levels beyond, well, I mean, even in some of the things in Masonry, like, for example, in America, to become a 33rd degree Mason, you have to go to this creepy house of the temple in Washington, D.C., and one of the things they have you do is you take Holy Communion out of a human skull. Now,
ugly.
If you were any kind of a biblically knowledgeable person, I would think that would make a few alarm flags go off, you know. and that's just the beginning. But beyond that, that's when it gets really more obvious because...
Oh, but it's all in good fun. Actually, that's what the skull
right.
and bones is all about too, right?
Yeah. Now, that I can't really speak to because I was never in skull and bones. I just read materials, I'm sure, as you have. But, yeah, it's pretty bad when both of our presidential candidates last time were both skull and bones guys. Had no choice in the matter.
Right. There was a cartoon I liked. I think it was in New York Times. It had a picture of the crypt, you know, the headquarters at Skull and Bone of Skull and Bones.
Oh yeah.
And it had a sign out front saying, Kerry or Bush for president.
Yeah, really.
It didn't matter. Yeah. My. I remember when Kerry was asked by Tim Russert, Meet the Press. You know, he was asking about Skull and Bones. He says, there's a lot of, you know, secrets, isn't there? You know, don't the American people have the right to know this? And he's laughing. Oh, well, yes, that's true. There are a lot of secrets. I tell you, man.
Yeah, and then Bush was nailed with the same question when he was running the first time, and he just said, well, I can't talk about it. It's secret.
Yeah. Can't talk about it. Yeah, I remember that. But he did use some skull and bones terms, like, we're going to bring chaos out of order. I mean, order out of chaos.
Yeah, they
love that.
Oh, yeah. Of course, that's also very Masonic.
Sure. Yeah, again, they're really one and the same. Skull and bones, Freemasonry. In fact, it grew out of Freemasonry, skull and bones.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
But there's no question the actual term skull and bones comes from the Jolly Roger. That's the flag that flew on the pirate ships. They're telling you that they're modern day pirates. They're putting it right in your face. Yeah.
Well,
and
it's
look,
worse,
look what they've done to this country. They've pillaged
it's
it.
It's even worse than that, you know. Because the symbol of the skull and bones goes all the way back to Osiris, and it's a symbol of the witchcraft god of the dead. Mm-hmm. And you have a skull with the bones crossed underneath the skull, which you see all over Masonic iconography. That's a symbol of the god of witchcraft.
So the pirates themselves probably borrowed it from there, too.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I never made a serious study of that part of it, but...
So you were way high up in Freemasonry. You were also literally, once you're high up in Freemasonry like that, you are a Satanist anyway, but you were also, aside from Masonry, you were in Satanism as well?
Yes. Yes, I was in, I joined the Church of Satan in 1975, I think.
Was that Anton LaVey's group?
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So did you know him personally?
Pardon me?
Did you know him personally?
No, I did not. Then a year later, I became a warlock, which is second degree in the Church of Satan. And then after that, I got into hardcore Satanism, which, you know, really the Church of Satan is just sort of like entry-level Satanism. I mean, it's pretty bad, but it's actually very mild compared to what's going on in real Satanism.
Right, right. Kind of like an introduction to the thing.
Sure, sure.
Like lower level Freemasonry or something. But now, so you didn't meet Anton LaVey, so what? He had branch churches, obviously, huh?
Well, no, it was done partly through the mail. I just wrote them and, you know, sent them, I forget what it was, $25 or something or other. And, you know, they sent me a questionnaire and I filled out the questionnaire, and then that enabled me to become a first degree member of the Church of Satan. And then after a certain period of time, actually, there was no Church of Satan in Milwaukee where I lived. And at that time, they didn't have a lot of these. There were probably only about a half dozen in the whole of America. And I think they had one in Chicago, and they probably had, of course, they had the mother church, so to speak, in San Francisco, and one in New York, but I don't think they had a lot of them. They had a lot on military bases, oddly enough. A lot of military bases had satanic grottos, is what the local Church of Satan group is called.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Grotto. Yeah. So anyhow, then later on, I had a much more extensive questionnaire to fill out.
Not to interrupt, but I also hear the CIA has had a fondness of recruiting from groups like that. Have you heard that?
Well, yeah. Also, of course, they love Mormons in the CIA.
So yeah, you've got the CIA. Brigham Young, right. I've heard that,
Mormon
too.
Mormon missionaries, they usually have a foreign language under their belt. They've usually had experience living in foreign countries, so they make perfect CIA agents, you know.
What a happy little family.
Yes, really. Mormons and Satanists holding hands together, helping our country, tra-la-la. Kind of gives you
it? With your experience, I'm sure you can give us the assurance that there really is precious little difference between these organizations, isn't there? I mean,
at
Freemasonry
the highest level,
actually,
yeah. Very much true,
Freemasonry
yeah.
gave birth to Mormonism. I mean, Joseph Smith was a high-ranking Mason.
Yes, very good.
And Mormon doctrine, of course, parallels that of Freemasonry. And in fact, all of its practices, you know, it's sleeping in the coffin. They got the whole thing, the secret undergarments with the symbology. And
exactly.
I understand you actually were instrumental in helping produce the documentary and the books as well, The Godmakers.
I was in Godmakers, too. I was still a Mormon when Godmakers, the book and the film, came out.
I
co-wrote a book with Jim Spencer called Mormonism's Temple of Doom, which basically, that's now 20 years ago, and that basically blew further into the Mormon secret caverns of temple work than any book ever written. And it was just literally a couple years later that the Mormon Church overhauled its entire temple ceremony.
Little cover-up job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no explanation. I mean, one day, these nice little Mormons went into the temple, and it was one way, and then the next day they went into the temple, and it was totally changed.
Wow.
So, interesting.
Yeah, I tell you, folks, if you're not familiar with Mormonism, it's very deadly. They got a doctrine called Blood Atonement, which calls for killing people to atone for their sin if they leave the church. That's the unpardonable sin, and killing them is the only way to atone. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with some more shocking revelations.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. The host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined today by Bill Snebellen. Did I say it right?
Snebellen.
There we go. I'll get that right one of these times. Again, a former high-ranking Mason, a former member of the Mormon cult, and a Satanist. Wow. What an itinerary. So, how long ago was this again that... since you had gotten out of
basically, I got born again in 1984. So my period of getting into all these different groups went from 1968 till 1984. So it's over 20 years ago now. I've been saved for 23 years.
You know, I was actually, I don't know if you got into Rosicrucianism, basically
Sure.
The same thing. Yeah, they recruit actually for Masonry, really. It's kind of like a inward.
Well, they both spring again from the same source.
Right.
And there are Rosicrucian degrees in Scottish Rite Masonry.
Right. But what I mean is, once you join up with them, within a year or so, they start sending you brochures and, you know, advertisements encouraging you to check in at your local Masonic lodge and, you know, you can advance quicker through that. And so it seemed more like, you know, like kind of like a recruiting ground for Masonry. Well, they work together. They're sister or brother organizations.
Except the Rosicrucians, you see, are more openly occult.
Yeah.
Most, I mean, you will hardly ever hear about the occult in a Masonic lodge unless you go in the back room and read their books. Because most Masons aren't occultists. But a small minority of them are, and of course that's what makes them so dangerous.
Right, sure. Yeah, they're definitely more blatantly into that. So yeah, I guess that would be the more subtle these things are, the more dangerous, because they do suck more people in. You know, masonry, and then they do. Masonry has what, like 3 million people right now?
Yeah, but it's literally gone down 25% in the last 10, 15 years.
Oh,
there used to be 4 million Masons. Now there's only 3 million Masons.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, that's
hallelujah.
Yeah, that's really good.
Back in 1990, I and a handful of other people joined up with Intercessors for America. And we went to Washington, D.C., and we marched on the House of the Temple, which is the supreme headquarters of the Scottish Rite. And while there, we cast down the strongholds of Masonry over this nation. We anointed the place, we prayed over it, we did spiritual warfare over it. And since that time, frankly, Masonry has been running like an old sweater. I mean, you're seeing literally hundreds of men leaving it, and of course some of it, they're just dying, you know, because their recruitment rate is pathetic now. I mean, hardly anybody's joining. And, like, right now, the average age of a Mason is over 60.
Wow.
So it's basically dying on the vine. And it's partly, I know, just due to the fact that there's more interesting stuff that guys want to do. But I know some of it is because people are repenting. Men, I mean, we have had hundreds and hundreds of calls over the years about our book, Masonry Beyond the Light, where some man has read it and just was driven to their knees and repented and asked God to forgive them for even being part of such a thing.
Yeah, there is an awakening, kind of like almost on a par like with what we had in the early 19th century. They actually had an anti-Masonry political party that was organized to prevent Masons running for political office.
That was in response to the murder of Captain William Morgan for revealing Masonic secrets.
Yeah, right, exactly. And a lot of people became rightfully skeptical, but of course that just inspired them to go deeper underground and engage in a propaganda campaign, you know, to face save. And, it was effective for a while.
Sure. The trouble was it wasn't really the trouble, but as the Civil War approached, people kind of had their minds on other issues, obviously, and the Masonry thing was kind of forgotten. And then after the war, because of this General Albert Pike, who was a Confederate war criminal, and he was the highest-ranking Mason in America for the last half of the 19th century, he basically restored Masonry, and it had its renaissance in this country.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, how did you first get involved with this? Did you go into this intending, you know, knowing what it was, or were you just...
Well, I was a witch before I was a Mason. And basically what happened was, when I was in college, I was raised Catholic, and I wanted to be a priest. And so I went into minor seminary, and there I was, you know, taught theology and Latin and philosophy and all that kind of good stuff. And one of my professors, who was a priest and a PhD in theology, he told me that part of being a priest was to be Christ-like, which, of course, made sense. And he said, if you want to be like Christ, you have to do what Christ did. And, of course, that also made sense. And see, that's how they do it. They build up this syllogism and then hit you with a sucker punch at the end. And so he said, you must do what Jesus did. And what Jesus did is he went and studied the occult. He went to Egypt and studied with the magicians there. In the years between the time when he was 12 and you read about
it. Sure, he did.
And then he went off and went to India, studied with the gurus. He
Buddhism,
went to Tibet,
yeah.
Studied with the Lama,
sure.
Blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And so he told me that that was how Jesus was able to do all these wondrous things, you know, walk on water, raise the dead, etc. And so if I wanted to do that, I should do those same studies. And so I believed him, because what did I know? I was 18, 19 years old, and this guy had a degree, and he was a priest and all that. And so I went out, and I started buying books on the occult. And just literally within a year or so, I got in touch with the King of the Witches. And they arranged that I initiated a witch.
Wow. Was that the Frosts, the Wiccan?
No. I didn't even know they existed back then.
Oh, okay. Tell you what, now, we'll pick up from there when we get back. Got to go to a break. Stick with us, folks. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Okay, guys. Back here on Two Thirds Radio. And once again, we're joined today by Bill Sneblin. There, I said it right.
Yeah.
Talking about his days in Freemasonry, Satanism, Mormonism, really all pretty much the same thing, just different masks for the same face, I guess you could say. And the face
exactly.
is Satanism. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you went from, you became a wizard.
A witch.
Well, yeah.
Right.
See,
Wicca is a religion. Wizardry is something entirely different, although the two words are actually often mixed together. But, yeah,
I always thought that a male witch was a wizard, but not the case, huh?
Well, not in the religion of Wicca. In Wicca, which is what white witchcraft is, it's now a pretty good-sized religion in Western Europe and America. North America, a male witch is just a witch, and a female witch is also a witch. So it's like, you know, you don't have a different word for a male or female Christian. So, but yeah, you're right. In many ways of thinking, people think a male witch is either a wizard or a warlock, but that's actually a different kind of terminology. So yes, I became a witch, and then met my wife, and we went down together to study under the Grand Druid of North America down in Arkansas. This is in 1973. And down there, he's the one who told us, among other things, that if I ever wanted to get further into the light of Lucifer, I should join the Freemasonic Lodge. And he himself was a 33rd degree Mason. So the highest ranking Druid in North America was also a 33rd degree Mason, and he was also a Mormon bishop. So wow. You see how all these things come together, as you have said. So that was why a couple years later, when I met someone whose dad was a lodge officer, I sought out membership in the Masonic Lodge, because I was told to do so by a high-level Druid.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, you know, is it known in Freemasonry that they've got, I mean, in Mormonism, that they've got a lot of their high-ranking church members involved in this stuff, or you know, maybe it doesn't bother them?
Oh, no. Almost certainly not. I mean, scholars understand it. Like a BYU professor of history, D. Michael Quinn, years ago, 20 years ago, wrote a book called Early Mormonism, The Magic Worldview, where he documented that the founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, was a sorcerer. And that a lot of his associates were involved in masonry or sorcery or whatever, and Quinn was promptly excommunicated for writing that book. Because, see, the Mormon Church doesn't like people poking around in its history trying to find the truth, because they present this very carefully crafted image to the public that they're all nice and whatever, you know, like the whole thing with Mitt Romney. I mean, that man is a very dangerous guy, because if you understood Mormon eschatology and what the Mormons believe their destiny is, you never want to let a Mormon anywhere near the White House.
Oh, sure. I mean, they have stated it. They intend to take over the country.
Yeah, exactly. By whatever means necessary.
Yeah.
And because they are so wealthy, I mean, they're the wealthiest church in America, except for the Catholics. They have
the Marriott
wealth.
Hotel. And
Right. And they are incredibly wealthy, and that's why they can afford to have all these TV spots and commercials and send out this massive missionary force. And you know, they really, fortunately, they're not gaining as many converts now in this country as they used to, but they're gaining a lot of converts overseas where the truth about Mormonism is not as well known.
Yeah. And, you know, they do come to your door seemingly very humble and sincere, and
seem
so clean cut, and they have, you know, good dietary practices, on and on and on.
Oh, yeah, their values are very akin to scriptural values, and they look really good, you know, but the trouble is they're lost. I mean, they don't know Jesus Christ from a doorknob. And when I was a Mormon, for 5 years, I didn't know Jesus Christ from a doorknob either.
Well, I mean, they literally worship Joseph Smith. A lot of people don't realize this, but they sing hymns to him, and, you know,
Well,
for that matter, at any given time, whoever their church leader is, what do they call him, a president or whatever?
Prophet, seer, and revelator.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Pope being the head honcho. He's infallible. That's what they teach about their leaders. And what's amazing is it doesn't matter, you know, if one current leader contradicts what the previous leader says. It doesn't matter. At any given time, whatever he says, that's the truth for that moment.
Yes, exactly.
Very bizarre. And they just follow right along in tandem. But I suppose, aside from, you know, what I mentioned before the break about the doctrine of blood atonement, where they literally, and folks, this happens in Utah, they kill people. If you leave the church, the only way to atone for your sin is if they kill you. They have to shed your blood. You know, the real fanatics, the real, what do you call them, extremists or conservative members, they do follow this in Utah. But I suppose
Utah and Idaho are the only states in the union where they have as a death penalty the firing squad.
Oh, Idaho too is influenced by you?
Yeah, because they believe your blood has to be spilled out upon the earth. And of course, if you hang someone or fry someone in the electric chair or die by lethal injection, there's no bloodshed. And that's why. Wow. And people say, "Oh, this isn't going on anymore," But Gary Gilmore, who some of your listeners may remember, he was a killer who was a Jack Mormon, which means like a backslidden Mormon, back in Utah, I think in the 60s or early 70s. And Norman Mailer wrote a book about him called The Executioner's Song. And he shot some guy in a gas station, killed him when he was robbing the gas station. And when he was caught and tried, he requested to have the death penalty because as a Mormon, however backslidden, he knew the only way that he could get out of the outer darkness, which is the Mormon version of hell, was if he was shot and killed and his blood spilled out upon the earth. So Mormons still believe this to this day, even though if you ask them, they will, of course, deny it.
Wow. Now, they're really big in Idaho as well. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's this whole area. You can literally call it the Kingdom of Deseret, quote, unquote. And it's like southern Idaho, the more populated parts of Idaho, northern Arizona, large parts of Nevada, and, of course, Utah. You know, a lot of people don't realize there's huge numbers of Mormons in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Even though they don't get involved, of course, with the gambling industry. But once you get away from the Strip, you will see literally, you know, a dozen or more Mormon meeting houses. And there's actually a Mormon temple in Las Vegas, which is an indication that there's large numbers of Mormons there. Because the Mormon temple, of course, is where only a handful of elite Mormons are allowed to go. It's not the same as their local meeting houses.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the parallels between Freemasonry and Mormonism so people can get
sure.
an idea. Obviously, you know, like Masonry, they believe that you progress from one stage to another, just like the degrees, you go higher and higher. Ultimately, they claim that you achieve deity, right? You become
right.
a god.
Right, you can become a god. Their big slogan is, you know, as man is, God once was, as God is, man may become.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so, and of course, Masonry also, in a very subtle way, teaches that. The real comparisons, though, come in the temple. When a Mormon goes to the temple, they're given all these secret handshakes and secret passwords that are, some of them, very similar to the Masonry passwords. And these supposedly enable the Mormon, to, if he's faithful to all of his covenants that he made in the temple, to go past these angelic guardians on the way to heaven. He's got to give these handshakes to these various angelic guardians. And if he knows the right passwords and he knows the right handshakes, he can be ushered in to the highest degree of glory. And that's, of course, kind of taking the whole concept of Masonry and ratcheting it up a level. And instead of giving handshakes to get into a Masonic temple, you're giving handshakes to get into the presence of Almighty God. And
wow.
the other thing is, as you may have mentioned, is the Mormons wear this magic underwear that they call a temple garment. And Mitt Romney's got one on. You better believe it. And on this temple garment, which is like a white T-shirt and then long pants, I mean, it goes down to your knees, kind of like big baggy shorts, and both men and women wear them if they've been to the temple. There are Masonic markings on both breasts, on the navel, and on the knee, and the square, the compass, and the gauge. And these are, of course, Masonic symbols. And again, Mormons believe they must wear these garments. If they're temple Mormons, they have to wear them at all times. They wear them even when they bathe, they wear them when they make love, they wear them 24/7 because they believe they protect them from the power of the destroyer.
Now, so that, do they admit that the origin, I mean, how can you deny the compass and the square? You know, that's obviously Mormon.
Of course, they claim,
I mean, Masonic.
Their assertion is that King Solomon, who of course started out as a righteous guy and all that, and he built this vast, wonderful temple for the true and living God. That's all in 1 Kings, you know, 7 and 8. And they claim that he had all this stuff going on in the temple. And then, you know, it got lost and apostatized, but because some of Solomon's workers knew this stuff, they went through the centuries as Freemasons, and so they had these secrets, but they didn't have the priesthood power to activate them. And so their story, which is very shaky, is that Joseph Smith was given this priesthood power, and that's a whole other discussion, but that this gave him the authority to unlock the keys that the Masons had. And so all it took was that Joseph Smith became a Freemason in 1843, I think. He became a Master Mason. And just a few weeks after that, literally less than 2 months, he brought forth the temple endowment, which is very, very Masonic, the temple ritual, in other words, that Mormons go through when they go through the temple. So that's their story, but of course it's kind of shaky because historically there's no basis for it.
Right, yeah, it's a legend that they've built around it, and
mm-hmm.
Hiram Abiff, of course, is mentioned in the Bible, but nothing else really that's in that story.
One important thing is mentioned in the Bible. I want to draw your listeners' attention to it. It says in the Bible, both in 1 Kings and in Chronicles, that Hiram finished all the work which Solomon gave him to do. Now, that is that is true, of course, because that's in the Word of God. But if you go through the third degree Masonic ritual, you are told just the opposite. You are told that Hiram did not finish the work because he was murdered by three ruffians. And that's a whole other story. But so right there, the central Masonic ritual, which is their most sacred thing, is what's found in third degree, is actually contradicts the Bible.
Well, what's interesting, too, is Smith, told the story of him getting the plates. There was an angel that delivered them, and he locked them away in a hillside. And, of course, that parallels Freemasonry as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, they have a whole legend of Enoch and some of their Scottish Rite degrees, which goes into that.
Right. So, I mean, this whole thing. And, in fact, I don't know how much you want to go into this more, but, I mean, even his death, I guess, parallels Freemasonry, doesn't it? It's almost like he was murdered by fellow Freemasons.
Well, a lot of people believe that the fingers on the trigger that shot him in Carthage Jail in Carthage, Illinois, were Masons. That they killed him because he was running off of their secrets and basically starting his own version of Masonry, which is what Temple Mormonism was. And, and it's very ironic, in fact, because when Smith was shot, he was trying to climb out the window of the second floor of this jail, and as he was shot, the Mormon version says he cried out, "My Lord and my God," and then fell to the earth dead. Actually, what he really said was, according to many eyewitnesses, is he cried out, "O Lord, my God, is there no help for the widow's son?"
Uh-huh.
Now, what that is that's the Grand Masonic Hailing Sign of Distress. And supposedly any Mason that hears that cry is supposed to rush to the aid of that dude. And, of course, they didn't. They were probably shooting him, although no one can prove that. But what is really ironic is that at the time he uttered that remark, Joseph Smith was a widow's son because his father had died and his mother was still alive. And so he literally thought he was acting out the life of Hiram Abiff in his own life. And, of course, he lived by the lie, and he died by the lie.
Very strange stuff. So, I mean, to this day now, they've pretty much healed those old wounds, right? I mean, it seems like they're kissing cousins now, Masonry and Mormon.
Well, very recently, like for a long time, the Grand Lodge of Utah, they actually declared that if you were a Mason, you could not be a Mormon, and vice versa. Because they regarded Mormonism as what is termed in Masonry a clandestine lodge. But sometime in the 70s, I think about the same time the Mormons stopped being so racist about the black people, they somehow, got back together again to a degree. And I mean, when I joined the Mormon Church, I was a 32nd degree Mason. And nobody said anything about it. My activities in the Masonic Lodge decreased somewhat because, let me tell you, the Mormons keep you real busy. If you're a devout Mormon, you don't have time for spending all these nights at the lodge. But, yeah, they're much more amicable now.
Wow.
And, of course, the funny thing is this is happening all over because, like, for example, for literally centuries, the Masons and the Roman Catholics were like nemesis. They were
sure.
Arch enemies of each other. And then the last pope, John Paul II, who was himself a high-level Mason, he issued a papal bull, that's what they call it, honest, which stated that it's okay now for a Catholic to be a Freemason, even though for centuries, if you were a Catholic and you joined the Masonic order, it was just like that, you were excommunicated from the church de facto.
So they really are allowing that now, huh? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, there's actually, we have a copy of it's a first-day cover that was put out by the Vatican City Post Office, that commemorates the lifting of the ban on Freemasonry. Which is a good thing because more than half the College of Cardinals are all high-level Masons.
Well, yeah, it only makes sense. I mean, I think they can't hide that anymore. And of course,
for years they've been having homosexuality, too, and most of the Catholic priests are homosexuals. So, that's another little bit of hypocrisy, but that's another story.
And then you got the P2 Lodge that has their primary account in the Vatican Bank. So,
yes, and that's the Masonic Lodge.
Now, which Pope actually lifted this ban?
John Paul II.
Oh, he did, huh? Interesting. Yeah. I wonder if
It's been about 20 years ago. I think it was because it was when I was a Freemason. I remember there was a big deal about it in the press. And the funny thing was is that at that time, I was living in Milwaukee, and the Archbishop of Milwaukee at that time was named Cousins, and he actually became a Mason, just to show how wonderful it was. And here this guy was like the highest level Catholic in the whole state of Wisconsin, you know, an Archbishop, and he became a Freemason. So, you know, it was just to show, okay, this is a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, to play it fair, it's not just Mormonism that has affinity with these groups. You've got a lot of other, unfortunately, like the, what is it, the Episcopalians now, they've been ordaining practicing witches.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone Masons. Yes.
Well, the head of the whole Church of England, the Archbishop of Canterbury, is a Druid. So what can they say?
Oh, man.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. What a mess. I'm not surprised, though.
Yeah, yeah.
We are in the George Orwellian doublespeak world, folks. Tell you what, we're going to go another break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Bill Sneblin.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Okay, guys. Welcome back to Truth Threats Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. We've got Bill Sneblin on today. Former Mason, former Satanist, former Mormon. And we're pointing out how pretty much these groups really are all the same. All swimming in the same toilet bowl together, as I like to say. If anybody wants to call in, if you have any questions or comments for our guest, you can dial in toll-free, 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. Before we go on, Bill, if you want to mention any websites, or I understand you've got, you know, quite a few books. You've got DVDs.
Yes.
If you want to direct people
to... Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, our website is withoneaccord.org. That's WITHONEACCORD and then .org. And on there we have over 100 items. We've got, the book Masonry, our testimony, if you want to know more about this brief thing I'm saying in my life, Lucifer Dethroned is the book for you. There's a book on spiritual warfare we have, Blood on the Doorpost. There's our best-selling DVD is Exposing the Illuminati from Within, because I was involved in the Illuminati, and that's a four-hour, actually now a five-hour DVD set. We have Interview with the Next Vampire, which is a nine-hour teaching on it's basically an interview where I essentially talk about almost everything I know about the occult. So that's, if you want to learn the whole thing, that would probably be the way to go. And we have a lot of audio tapes and videotapes, teachings and DVD teachings, as you say. So withoneaccord.org.
Excellent. Have you ever met or worked directly with Dave Hunt?
Yes. We've shared the same platform a few times. Sure.
Yeah, he was, of course, co-author of Godmakers. Yeah, he's written quite a few interesting books over the years.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, let's go back here to our discussion. Somebody had asked me in the type chat. I'm logged into paltalk.com. They wanted to know if you could elaborate a little bit on the Sons of God. I guess you had written a book dealing with that subject.
Well, actually, it's a DVD. It's called The Sons of God and the Antichrist. And that book is essentially, it goes into the prophetic implications of Genesis chapter 6. And that, of course, referencing, it says there that the sons of God came down among the daughters of men and married those whom they chose. And then they produced the Nephilim, who were these extraordinary demigod-like, you know, beings. They're called giants. They're called Nephilim. This all took place before the flood. And this created such a situation of wickedness that God literally had to drown the whole world except for Noah and his family. And you'll notice what it says about Noah. It says that Noah was perfect in his generations. Now, what that literally means in the Hebrew is his genetic material was unsullied. Nobody in his family background had intercourse with a fallen angel. And so, therefore, his line was pure enough that he could go on, get on the ark with his sons and daughters-in-law and wife, and ultimately from their lineage would come the Messiah.
So you do see that making reference to actual
interspecies sexuality, yes. And I think the same thing is happening today.
Wow. Bizarre stuff. Okay, guys, we're going to go another short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Bill Snublin.
Recent internet.